Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There we go. So I'm recording now. Cool. Hello, everybody. This is Ryan. This is the Life Autistic podcast. And I'm here today with Zoe after a couple minutes of technical difficulties. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Right on. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. Drew's not with us today. He had some project he's working on and he's exhausted. So hi, Drew.
All good. Hello from afar.
Yeah. Where do you live again?
I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated by, I love that we're in this time where we get to talk to people from all over and it's just like, hey, I'm in Canada. I'm in Indiana. Cool. Like, it's just pretty neat to be able to do. So.
Yeah.
How did you first stumble across our little podcast?
Well, I mean, I follow a lot of like autism pages and such, and I was actually drawn in by your name, the Life Autistic instead of the Life Aquatic.
And okay. Yeah,
I'm a Wes Anderson fan, so you nice. Got me. But nice. Yeah,
that's cool. It's funny actually because there's the obviously the movie, and then there's a musician named Everlast.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with him or not, but he had an album called The Life Acoustic.
Yeah. Well, I remember the album and I remember Everlast, but yeah.
So I was trying to think of a name for this podcast. And when I first started it, it was called Adulting with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
I was like at the very beginning of my, you know, discovery and journey here. And then that name, you know, in short time, I realized that name wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. And then I think I went through a couple different names. And then I was just on Spotify, like playing some music. And like that album came up, his album, The Life Acoustic. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, so he took The Life Aquatic, made The Life Acoustic. I'll make The Life Autistic. And then that's how the name came up. So it's kind of funny. But so you, do you want to tell us how old you are or where you grew up or any of that kind of sort of background info?
Well, I am 29 years old. I just turned 29 this past March.
Yeah.
And just live in Indiana. And that's the backstory in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to quickly grab a piece of paper. Hang on.
Yeah, no worries.
I'm doing this in my kitchen today. I normally do it at my desk in the other room, but I've just been organizing boxes and it's become a complete disaster area. So
I understand that.
I'm sort of scared to go in there right now, but yeah. So how are you?
I'm doing well.
So you are autistic?
Yes. That's now, like, not officially diagnosed, but I've been confirmed by one of my therapists before. Yeah. And that just kind of led to my own self-discovery.
Yeah.
But, like, prior to that, I had been, like, misdiagnosed with, like, all the things and, on all different sorts of medication that never worked, and because it wasn't meant for that. And after that long journey and then figuring out the things, and, I mean, growing up, I mean, even with autism itself, it's like I was under the impression that, I don't know, only so many people you would know had autism. Yeah. I don't mean any quotes like that, but like there was a certain way about it that it's like, oh, well, I'm not that, so this has to be it. But that was not the case, because it's huge. It's a big old spectrum. So
that's an interesting thing. Like well, first of all, I'll say self-diagnosis is welcome here.
It should be. I mean, there are a lot of factors that people get undiagnosed to begin with, so it's like unfair for people to be like, well, you're not, because somebody didn't say you were. Well, I mean,
and it's difficult. I mean, for me, I went to my, like, family doctor when I first was in this process, and I went to my family doctor and said, hey, doc, you know, I think I'm autistic. And I was basically laughed out of the room. And then I went to another psychologist, spent $100 on that hour, which is a complete waste of time. She didn't know anything about it. She looked at me and said, well, you have tattoos. You can't be autistic. Autistic people don't get tattoos. And I just was like, oh my God, like, you, I don't know where you're from.
No idea what you're talking about.
And then I went to this, like, a autism center that I heard about. And then I went through the process, which took several months, and it cost a lot of money. I mean, it cost me almost $1,000, and that's, which I couldn't really afford, but I just, you know, kind of made it happen at the expense of other things. But I realized, like, that's a lot of money, and I was sort of lucky that I was able to pull it off. But for a lot of people, that wouldn't be available. So it's, and I was self-diagnosed for a year and a half before I was officially diagnosed. So I don't. So anyone who's listening to this podcast, like all eight of you, just know that this podcast, this place is like, you know, I think there's a. You don't have to have an official stamp to be part of the club, you know? But it's to talk about what you were talking about with, like, all the sort of misdiagnoses, because that was a big part of my experience as well. Like, I lived my whole life and I was kind of cycling through, like, what is wrong with me? Like, do I have depression? Am I bipolar? Do I have chronic fatigue? Do I have this? Do I have that? Like, I would just always be like, what the hell is going on? I can't figure it out. And then when I finally arrived at autism and then started really researching and reading, it was like all of a sudden all these other things fit under that umbrella.
Exactly.
The anxiety and the depression and the seemingly bipolar like symptoms, like all of those just were like, I fit under the autism umbrella as more byproducts of the trauma of living autistic than they were necessarily their own diagnoses, if that makes sense. Did you want to talk
100%? That's exactly it. Like, I mean, for one, a lot of quote unquote mental illnesses, neurological disorders, what have you, they go hand in hand with their quote unquote symptoms, characteristics, and everything. So
yeah.
I can get where things and people can be easily misdiagnosed, but even still, like, some things just don't fit.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, things fit more for me anyway under the autism umbrella than it ever could with, like, well, I mean, bipolar disorder, that makes sense too, but even still, it's mm-hmm. it's like the same thing, just different reasonings. Like, if I didn't know that I was being triggered by something, then I wouldn't know why what was happening. So it could have just been a swing of sorts, or
yeah.
I don't know, but like, that was another thing that I had to learn to do, is pay more attention to what's happening around me to realize what's happening when this happens for that to happen. Like that.
Yeah.
So I don't, you get what I'm saying. It's
yeah.
just,
yeah.
It's a whole process, but I don't know. They're all, everything's similar, very similar.
Yeah. But, there's a lot of overlap. Over that.
Yes. A little too much.
Do you, did you have any specific, misdiagnoses you can talk about? Like, whether it's yourself thinking it's this or that, or a doctor or psychologist or counselor saying to you it's this or that? Like,
well, I remember, so the first time I ever saw a therapist in the first place was maybe my sophomore year in high school, and I had already, like, I didn't talk to family or anything about what was going on with me, but I had my quirks, so to speak, and like, I know my mom, she would think I was just being ornery at times, like,
yeah,
I get
yeah.
that, but like, I literally just could not handle some things, so like,
yeah,
I didn't know that it was like me and not like me trying to be contrary, I guess. So
yeah.
I thought that because of how I was perceived that I was being contrary, and I now know, no, I wasn't. I just had to do things my ways. But sophomore year or so was when I first started seeing therapy, and that was for like self-harm and stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that, like, I wasn't doing things to hurt myself, so to speak. Like, I didn't know that much, but it was like an outlet for me. So that was seen eventually, which is what led me to being into therapy. And like, a lot of things I had, I don't want to say mistook for something else, but like, what I went through, it's so hard to explain.
Yeah, take your time. It's all good. We're in no rush.
It's like,
and 90% of the people listening to this are autistic. So, like, yeah, whatever. You can take your time. We get it.
I'm doing my best.
What's that?
I said, I'm doing my best.
Yeah. Believe me, I'm spent half my time doing this show. I'm just like fumbling and stumbling, and the other half I'm just rambling.
Like, rambling is a thing, and then I'll get so off topic and then don't know where I was at. So.
I tell everybody in my life, I'm like, don't ask me even the most simple question unless you have 20 minutes. Because if you just say, how was your week? I'm going to go forever until you tell me to shut up. So don't.
That can go on for days.
Yeah.
No sleep till Brooklyn.
There you go. No sleep till Brooklyn. I'm putting that in the show notes. Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys.
This is the second episode where we've had Beastie Boys mentioned, so.
Oh, cool. They should sponsor you now.
Yeah.
Awesome. What was I saying?
I don't know. I'm sorry. If I
just... No, it's all good. We can talk about something else even.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
I guess, like, one thing I'm always curious about, and I always think people listening want to hear about, because that's the feedback I get, is just like that journey from, for me, the journey was from what the fuck is wrong with me to, oh, I'm autistic. And like that journey is like
clarity.
So fascinating to me, because, you know, I'm in my 40s and I spent my whole adult life like thinking I was broken. And then when I finally went, oh, I get what this is, I'm not broken, it was like this fog lifted. I could quit beating myself up for feeling like something's wrong with me, and I could just embrace who I am. And that is like the thing I like to share, and I think, you know, if that's something that you want to talk about, that'd be awesome.
Definitely. I mean, so I learned more about autism for different reasons other than myself. And it wasn't until I saw actual information on it and not just what I've heard, seen, believed, what have you, it was, like I said, it was for someone else in the first place. And I was just like, but that's me. That's me. That's me. Literally every single thing. I was like, but that makes sense. Is that why that happens? Oh, this is this and that. And it just like never stopped. And then like, I remember like confiding in some of my friends at one point being like, oh, I think I'm autistic. And they were like, no, you're not. I'm just like, how are you going to tell me that? Like, learned these things and this is the me's. What are you talking about? And I mean, I learned later, like those aren't supportive people and I shouldn't be bothered with them anywhere. But like just the more I learned about it, even just following fellow autistics on social media and like listening to podcasts, watching videos, like everything, it's just like, I'm not the only one. Like that's never happened before. And it's not just like little things. I mean, it may be little things, but like even the big things, they're the same things, just different for some people, but they get what I'm saying when I'm saying it. Like, anyway, but it wasn't until I started learning about like everything that everything began to make sense. And then when my therapist like confirmed for me that information, I was just like, there, that's all I needed. Like, I don't need no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to test myself at some point in time just for like the solid set in stone feel, but like I already know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. If literally everything in my life makes sense due to this one sliver of information.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with that because that makes sense. Why would it not apply to me?
Exactly. It's like a process of elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, like, that was my experience, was this process of elimination where I went, well, you know, why do I have this? Why am I like this? Why do I do this? Why am I like this? And then you go cycle through all these things, like I said, you know, depression, like, bipolar, this, that, blah, blah, blah. And then when I remember I read this book of this guy wrote who was diagnosed in his 50s, and he talked about going through that process and how he had done the same thing and cycled through all these different things. And then all of a sudden, all of them made sense and they all went under this one umbrella. And I just went, oh yeah, like there it is. And it was just like an clarity, you know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't confused anymore. I wasn't wondering anymore. I just was like, oh, this is the answer. Like, and now I can learn about that and like learn how my brain works, learn what I need, learn what my difficulties are and in communicating or whatever, and express that to the people in my life. And it like, it's just making my life better. So
easier.
And it's, yeah, there are, it's funny though, because there are still people in my life. I mean, I've been doing this podcast for over a year. I've officially was diagnosed like last October, and there are still people in my life who are like, you're not autistic. You just want attention, and you're just making it up, or you're just looking for excuses. And I just look at them and I'm like, you have no fucking idea. How dare you tell me what my motivations are, you know?
Mm-hmm. And like that's the thing that gets on my nerves is like you can be proud of like how you are, who you are.
Well, it looks like we're frozen here. If anyone's listening, we got a little freeze on the Zoom. I don't even know if my voice is recording right now. There's a little freeze on the Zoom. Lizzo will be back on in a moment.
We did it. Did it come back? Oh, wait. You're muted.
Now I'm back. I think I'm back.
There you are.
Hey, you're back.
It like froze, and I was like talking, and I didn't know where it froze at.
And now you have to just repeat everything you just said for the last 30 seconds.
I don't even remember. Yeah, I do. how much did you hear?
I think I didn't hear much of it.
Oh, that's good then. Oh, I was just saying, that one of the things that gets on my nerves is, like, especially now, there are a lot of people that, quote-unquote, important people or people of celebrity influence or what have you that have been coming out more recently.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people jump on bandwagons and such. And that's happened before, like, with other things in the world, but this is one of them that I can understand where people would feel that way, but at the same time, not everybody is like that.
Yeah. So
it's like, I feel where you're coming from, but don't take that out on me. That's not me, boo-boo.
Yeah. Like, is it like, have you had anyone think that you're just like want to be autistic because it's a trend or it's cool or it's a fad or something? Like I haven't had anyone say that to me, but
not me personally.
I'm vaguely aware that that's kind of out there, you know? And
like, I don't really associate with that many people, and the ones that I do are supportive in the first place. So,
yeah.
No, that has not happened to me. And I've also been open about it for, I don't know, a good 5-6 years or so.
Yeah.
So feel like that was before anything, but at the same time, I don't know. I wasn't looking pay attention to that stuff. I've just seen a lot more things come out as of late, especially following more in the community. Like, I see a lot of people bitching about a lot of stuff. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. Here like we go.
Like Elon Musk and that kind of thing? Or
that kind of thing. First of all, when I didn't even see that episode, but I heard that he was saying that he was the first autistic person to host SNL. I'm like, first of all, Dan Aykroyd is autistic, and he was on the show and hosted it numerous times. What are you talking about? And that just completely erases him as a human, probably a better human, who knows. I don't know these people, but you know what I'm saying. And I don't know, I haven't seen it. All I did was watch the trailer, but that Sia movie music, I'm sure you heard the things. Seen
yeah, so I haven't cool. watched it either. I'm not sure if I will. I guess I will at some point, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sort of scared to.
It seems offensive on more than one level.
Yeah.
Like, I used to like Sia until I saw how she handled that situation in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, I liked her music. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't like her music. I still like her music, but I don't like her, so I'm not going to, like, go out of my way to listen to her music anymore. But there are songs I still like, but I don't really get into people. Like, yeah, I do. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I don't like to like you. Here I go talking to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen, I'm not even familiar with her. Like, I don't know her music. So when this whole thing about the movie came out, that's kind of the first I even heard her name. Like, I just didn't know who she was.
Really?
So, I don't really follow, like, music like modern music, I guess. Like I'm a nerd about 90s music, but modern stuff. But so I her reaction seemed pretty poor to a lot of the criticism, and you know, but I'm hoping, I'm always hopeful that people will come around. Like I don't personally believe in like canceling people. Like I just kind of hope that she'll learn from that and then be a better like ally or advocate or whatever word we want to use in the future. But
I don't see that happen.
What's that?
I said we can hope that, but I don't see that. I like your mug, but I don't see that happen.
Oh, thanks.
Is it a like a bus?
That's yeah. Yeah. I have a 70s Volkswagen van.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. That I'm
like a
I'm
real thinking. One?
What's that?
Like a real one?
Yeah, yeah.
Can so. I have it?
Well, I'm in the process of fixing it up. I'm gonna get it on the road for like next spring. And actually what we're gonna do is we're gonna turn it into a mobile podcast studio.
That'll be so dope.
And then we wanna take the bus and we're gonna put like the podcast name like on the side of the bus and everything. And then we're gonna take it to different autism events and conferences and things like that.
That's super dope.
So that's the plan. I mean, I don't have any money to do any of that, but I'm manifesting.
The universe, yes, you're manifesting it. You got it.
So if anyone's listening to this and you want to help me fix the bus, go to patreon.com/thelifeautistic. So maybe we'll make our way down to Indiana for, you know, do a live one in the bus one day.
Yes, that'd be so dope.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little chair set up. Like a little.
Yeah.
Wait, is the back open or is it like, how does it?
Well, the engine's in the very back. So it would be like the side door would open. And what I want to do is put like a little table in there with a couple comfy chairs and then have, like the recording stuff on the table, headphones, microphones, and just make the vibe in there really chill.
Yes.
Like really just calm, quiet, chill, and make it a nice kind of place to just be. And then that's what I'm hoping. We can go to some different events. And
that'd be so cool.
Yeah. Like Drew, who's like my, the guy who's come on board to help me produce this podcast. Like he works in film and TV, and he's producing I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but I think he's okay if I say it. He's producing a documentary series right now on athletes who are disabled, like disabled athletes, like in a variety of different sports. And then he's doing that. And then we want to eventually try to see if we can find the funding to turn this podcast into some kind of a show, just following the lives of autistic people, autistic adults, like living their lives. Because, you know, I think, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, but a lot of the conversation around autism is always around children. And it's kind of like, as soon as you turn 18, no one gives a shit. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show, this podcast, and like focus on, have these conversations with autistic adults, because there was just nothing really there. I mean, a lot more of these shows have come up now, which is great. But when I started this podcast like a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was nothing out there for autistic adults, you know? And it's like, hey, we exist. Like, you know, autism doesn't just, you don't grow out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, but like back to like that movie you're talking about, are there any other shows or movies or anything that speak to you, like that portray autism in a way that is okay?
I can say I am a fan-ish of Atypical.
Yeah.
They do a pretty good job of portraying a certain type of someone on the spectrum,
yeah,
with also showing like their support system. systems. The only thing, what's his name? Greer, the kid that plays the kid, Sam. Like, he is not autistic in real life. And that's probably my only, like, I'm not a fan of when people are representing something that they're not. But at the same time, like, I mean, I'm not saying that autistic actors don't exist. That's clearly false. But, like, year one? But yeah, like, I feel like they don't, like, the media, Hollywood, whatever you want to call it, they don't put in enough effort to find actual, like, description of that autistic person. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least just be on the spectrum of some, like, to some degree, to at least, like, be like, see, we can do this. We are represented by actual people like us, not people trying to be like us for 2.5 seconds and then profiting off of it. And then not going to anything to help anybody. Like, that's just like a, I guess, a pet peeve of mine. But that's not to say that they don't do a good job portraying it. It's just, it's like weird. But that, and I mean, that goes for more than just autism in the media. Like, that's like anything. Like, someone that's blind, that's not blind, or, well, that's silly because I'm sure there's blind actors. I don't know. Do you know of any blind actors, like actually blind actors?
I don't know of any, but I'm sure they're out there. And I can see that point of view. Like, if you have a sighted actor playing blind, it's like, well, why wouldn't you just hire a blind actor for that role?
Like, it's, I mean, like, that's a poor example because that might make things a little more difficult than need be, but, like, it's still, like,
no, but not
considering the person's abilities. Whatever.
If like, I was
you
a
don't
blind,
know until you try.
But I could see, like, if I was a blind actor and I and somebody who has sight got a role that I could have played, I would be probably kind of pissed off. Like, hey, hire me. Like, you know, it's hard enough as a blind actor to get work. Like,
legit.
You think you can at least hire me to play a blind guy?
But, you know.
But I enjoyed Atypical as well. I liked the show. I like what you said about how it shows, it's like the support system, the family dynamic. I really was touched by, like, is it Sam? Is that his name? I was touched by, like, his relationship with his sister and with his best friend. And I liked that it showed the best friend. It's like, hey, like, this guy is autistic and he's a prime candidate for being bullied and for being picked on and ignored socially. And then, but he's got this buddy who's just kind of looks out for him and loves him. Like, they love each other. His buddy accepts him that, like, he's not going to be the same as other people, but, like, he's just still my pal, you know? And it actually really, like,
takes him under his wing.
And it really actually, like, kind of reminded me of some of my, like, high school friendships. I didn't know I was autistic at the time. Nobody did. But I always felt very sort of isolated and out of place. And, like, I didn't really know what was happening around me. And it was confusing. And I was lucky enough that I had a couple close friends that sort of did that with me and sort of took me under their wing and looked out for me. And so it was touching. And I also think the portrayal of some of his experiences, like when he kind of gets into, like, a sensory overwhelming scenario, like the way they shot that and showed it, I was like, whoa, this is actually pretty close to what it feels like.
Pretty close.
So I've been able to, like, show those scenes to other people and go, like, this is actually, like, pretty close to, like, what happens. And that's been pretty cool because I definitely know those moments when all of a sudden, like, you start getting hit with different sounds and your brain's just going, and you're like, whoa.
You just shut down.
Yeah. So.
Nope.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And I don't really know any others, but.
Yeah. Not that I can think of.
What do you have in your hand?
Oh, some putty.
Okay.
It's magnetic putty.
What? That's a thing.
Yeah. Like, hold up. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but it like comes with a magnet and hold up. You see it?
What?
Yeah. Well, it's not gonna do it that quickly, but yeah.
That's so cool.
I don't know if you ever use thinking putty. It's Crazy Aaron's thinking putty. That's what I use.
What?
Crazy Aaron's thinking putty. There's like scented, there's magnetic, there's color changing.
Crazy Aaron. I'm going to write that down.
Yes. But I like to play with the putty when I'm like talking on the phone or something.
Yeah. I notice your hands going and I'm just like, buddy, this is what I'm doing while I'm talking. I'm just like. So,
I wish I could do a Rubik's Cube. Like, I know that there's like the pattern to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So, question. Is it like the same, like this is just an example, like 2 over 1 up, 2 over 1 up, 2 over 1 up for each color, or is that just per grid? Like, you know what I mean? Because it's like whatever spot you're looking at or whatever spot you're trying to get, there's like the pattern for it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually don't know how to solve it. I've got it on my, it's on my list of like things I want to do is like learn how to solve it. I just play with it. I just like the feeling of it in my hands.
They are fun. And they're fun. But, oh, I have this other thing. It's not a Rubik's Cube, but I like to pretend that it is. Hold on. It's one of these things. Have you seen like, this is this thing, and you can like,
oh yeah,
but like I pretend it's a Rubik's Cube and I'll just do this and be like,
yeah,
but it's not real, so
it's fun too.
I always win.
Yeah. I've got a few.
How long have you been working on that one?
Nice. Yeah, I've got a few other little like similar little puzzle things that I like to, you know, sometimes just have in my hands when I'm on the phone or something.
It's definitely helped.
It's funny.
How long have you been working on
that?
What? I was asking how long you've been working on that Rubik's Cube. But...
Oh, like a year and a half.
Oh.
I keep going online and trying to learn the algorithms to do it, and then I get after like 10 minutes, I'm like, ah, fuck this, I'll do it later.
Whatever.
I learned how to do like I managed to sometimes get like one side, and then I'm like, cool, I succeeded. But yeah,
on to the next one.
I worked with a guy a couple years ago. This kid, he was like 20, and he could do it in like a minute.
That's so cool.
And it was so fun to watch. And he would just, you'd hand him, you'd mix it up for him, hand it to him, and he would just go boom in like 1 minute. I was like, wow. So
I don't get it.
Yeah,
like they use every single finger.
Yeah,
at once. Done.
Do you have any other stims that you do or?
I mean, there's a lot of them. I don't know. I feel like it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Or what have you? I don't know. I can. It can look like I'm trying to fly away sometimes. I'm even like I hit myself sometimes too, like not to hurt myself, but like like it's a thing.
Yeah.
I have some vocal stims.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's so many things. There's so many things.
Yeah. I have like a few. Like I talk to myself all the time.
Ooh, me too.
And then I had a family friend years ago who's a psychiatrist, and I was having a conversation with him about that, and he said he's like, well, I've recommended this to a few different people. He's like, carry a broken cell phone with you.
Oh.
And when you're, if you're in a public place and you feel the need to talk to yourself, but you don't want to be looked at as a crazy person, you just hold a broken cell phone up to your ear and nobody will bother you.
So LOL.
I do that sometimes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I liked it. I rock constantly. Like I'm always rocking. So a lot of the time I just put headphones on and there's nothing playing. But if anybody sees me rocking, they just think I'm jamming out. Well, like if I'm in line at the grocery store or something, I can just, you know, do my thing. And
do the thing.
If I don't have my headphones on, I'll just start sort of like very quietly humming or singing to myself. And that's kind of a way, if anybody sees me rocking, they'll just be like, oh, he's just singing to himself. Like, you don't have to worry. He's not a crazy person. It's like, guess what? I am a crazy person.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I got to the point where I stopped caring. Like, yeah. I will talk to myself. I will dance in the line.
Yeah.
I will, anything I need to do, tap dance down the aisle. Like, I got this. Like,
yeah.
Give me my space. But, yeah. I know that it probably looks odd from the other side, but I know that I know what I gotta do and I ain't hurt nobody. So, you know,
I like it. I like it a lot. How are you? How is your, like your support system, like friends, family in regards to, supporting you and accepting autism and everything?
Fairly supportive. I mean, we all kind of go through the same things anyway. Like, I mean, my major people in my life are like my mom, my sister, my nephew, and my boyfriend. So that's kind of it. It works like that. like my sister, she's really good with like working with people with special needs and stuff. She was like a special needs teacher prior to being like a math teacher.
Okay.
But so she's really good at being patient with me. She knows what to do. Like even if I'm getting on her nerves, which I know I do sometimes, she's still willing to like be patient, be there for me. She'll yell at me later if she needs to, but like she'll drop whatever just to like help me out, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Same with like, yeah, like boyfriend, he's good at like helping me through stuff. He knows I need pressure. Like he knows like I go what you'd call nonverbal a lot. Like I'm not,
yeah.
I just can't say the things I'm trying to, like my brain is screaming words and responses, I tell you, I just can't say nothing. But people are, they're just understanding, very understanding.
Yeah.
I'm appreciative. Yeah. Extremely appreciative.
Yeah.
But I'm also one, like I don't know, things are very like black and white for me, so the fact that I have support, I rely on that support. If I didn't have support, I'd be fine on my own, if that makes sense. So it's like,
yeah,
I know what I need, but since you're here, I want you to be able to know what I need to.
Yeah.
But like, I can do it on my own. I just need help sometimes, but I would only need help if I knew that there was help available, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It's nice to have. Yeah.
It's also kind of terrible because I can become a recluse like that, and ain't nobody need that.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually like weirdly enjoyed this whole lockdown thing. Like, not to get into the politics of it all or whatever, but given making the best of the situation, given that we were in a lockdown and making the best of it, I'm like, oh, so I'm just going to be at home all the time by myself and not have to interact with humans. Like, holy crap, I could get used to this.
Like my normal life.
Yeah.
Now everyone is being forced to live my way.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I saw a meme a while back about this whole lockdown, and it was something to that effect of just like, if you don't know, hey, neurotypicals, if you don't know how to just like be alone for a long period of time and like not interact with people, like ask your autistic friends how to do it, because we're experts.
We're experts.
Good. Yeah. It's funny. I work like a couple nights a week bartending, and mm-hmm. it's like, seems an odd choice for an autistic brain to do, but it actually has been really good for me, is in that it like forces me to be social
uh-huh.
and interact with humans. And like, I've learned a lot about how to interact with people from doing that job. And it uh-huh. like forces me out of the house, forces me into a place with like people and noise and all this stuff. And it's not always easy, because it can get overwhelming, but I think it's kind of good for me overall, because if I didn't have like a financial reason to leave my house, I don't think I ever would.
Yeah, right.
other than like just going outside for a walk, you know, but like,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, so I don't know.
Leisurely sun time.
Yeah. Do you work or go to school, or what does your life look like?
Well, right now, like, I've just been freelancing, like, whatever comes up. I do photography, music, and then, like, my main focus as of late has been, like, jewelry making.
Oh, wow, okay.
Like, okay. I do, like, little, I've been making keychains, earrings, and what else? Well, mainly keychains and earrings, but some necklaces. But, more so just like time passing, but also putting time passing to good use.
Yeah.
And I don't know, since like COVID and everything, I haven't been trying to play music out anywhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, things are loosening up now, so I guess I could like probably start getting back into stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, mainly just whatever comes up.
Yeah.
Music lessons.
Wow. So what do you sing? Do you play an instrument? What do you do?
I play, well, I mean, I sing, I play guitar, I play ukulele, play violin. Like violin was the first thing I learned. My mom got us in that. I was in second grade when I learned violin.
Yeah.
And then I played that all through high school, out of high school. I was in some orchestras, but yeah, that's my main instrument, but I don't, and I say main because it's what got me started on everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else I've been self-taught with, so, like, that's just, violin just got the door open.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have, like, a band, or do you play solo, or?
I've tried to do bands, but that don't work. If anything, I can do like another person, and even still, like, they gotta know what they're doing more than I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've done like solo shows, duet-ish shows. I say duet, not like duet, but like duo. I guess that's a better word.
Yeah.
Duo shows.
Yeah.
Any band that I've ever been in, it's always been one person, if anything, if not all. But it's just hard. It's really hard to work with people, especially musicians.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Nothing against musicians, obviously, but like,
yeah.
It's difficult, especially being like different. Like,
yeah.
It's a little stressful, a little bit more stressful than it's worth sometimes. But
yeah.
That's why I just do my thing, and then if I meet someone and we can collaborate, we'll do that. Like, yeah, I don't focus on one person for long periods of time for that reason.
Yeah,
if we can work on something, we can work on something. If we can't, I'm gonna do this by myself.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do music too, and I've done some projects, but it's just me and one other person, and those seem to go well. Mm-hmm. And then projects I've tried that are with like a band, like, you know, five people or something. It's just, it's too much to navigate. It's too,
yeah,
much, too many personalities and, you know,
to pay attention to.
Yeah. Like, and it, five different ideas of where a song should go. And you're just like, well, how are we going to, with two people, you can have a conversation and figure it out. But with five mm-hmm. people, I just found it was like, it was too much. Mm. Do you have any music online? Like, if anyone's listening, they could find it and listen to it? Or,
I mean, right now I just have whatever I have on my Instagram. Yeah. I'm kind of terrible at posting things to like my YouTube and stuff. So yeah. That's something, like, that's a goal in which I have set, at least for this year, to start posting more. Like, even if it's not, see, I'm kind of a perfectionist also, so if something's not how I want it to be, I'm probably not going to put it up.
Yeah.
But I want to get past that and just post things as they are, because things aren't perfect all the time anyway. I just need to get over that, because it's also something that holds me back in the long run. So
yeah, for sure,
one of those things.
Yeah,
just gotta do it.
Just gotta do it. I know.
Can't do it, Captain.
It's hard. Oh man. So what's your Instagram handle for anyone listening? I'll put it in the show notes too.
It is Queen, spelled with a K, so KUEEN .Zoh, ZOH.
Cool.
Or Z. I said Zed like I say it all the time.
Say Zed?
I do when I'm thinking about it, because I think it sounds better. But yeah, talking to like normal people, and I say normal people like you're not normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people in my district, whatever, they do not say Zed, but I say Zed.
Zed is how we say it in Canada.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. So it's funny, like you said Zed, which to me sounds totally normal. And then you went over Z, and I was like, oh yeah, that's how you, yeah.
It just like went right over your head.
Oh. Zed or Z?
Yes. Zed. Depending on the listener here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we'll kind of wrap this up shortly. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about today that we haven't touched on or wanted to share?
I don't know.
pressure's on.
Ah! I can tell you a joke.
Think of something. No.
It's been placed.
Oh my god.
All right, so here's this terrible joke for you.
Amazing.
All right. How does an elephant get out of a tree?
I don't know. How does an elephant get out of a tree?
It sits on a leaf and waits for fall.
Oh my god.
That's my favorite joke.
Awesome. I love it.
Everyone's always like, it packs its trunk and leaves. And I'm like, oh, no, it sits on a leaf and waits for fall. Because that makes way more sense.
Way more sense. Amazing. Well, I think that's a pretty good place to end. Thank you so much for today, for taking the time. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Yes, likewise. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and... yeah, for anyone listening, I will post all the stuff in the show notes that we discussed, and I'll put Zoe's Instagram on there, so follow her and maybe buy some jewelry or something.
Yeah. Or hear some corny-ass jokes.
Or hear,
jokes are too fancy.
Great jokes. Amazing. All right. Well, thanks again. And I'll have this posted up soon, and I will send you a message when it's up. So.
All right. Coolio, Bulio.
All right. Thank you.
Namaste. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.